Chapter 1. This World, Playground or Battleground. Things are for us not only what they are what we hold them to be. That is to say, our attitude toward things is likely, in the long run, to be more important than the things themselves. This is a common coin of knowledge, like an old dime worn smooth by use, yet it bears upon it the stamp of truth, and must not be rejected simply because it is familiar. It's strange how a fact may remain fixed, while our interpretation of the fact changes with the generations and the years. One such fact is the world in which we live. It's here, and has been here through the centuries. It's a stable fact, quite unchanged by the passage of time. But how different is modern man's view of it from the view our fathers held? Here we see plainly how great is the power of interpretation. The world is for all of us not only what it is what we believe it to be. And a tremendous load of woe or weal rides on the soundness of our interpretation. Going back no further than the times of our founding and early development of our country, we're able to see the wide gulf between our modern attitudes and those of our fathers. In the early days, when Christianity exercised a dominant influence over American thinking, men conceived the world to be a battleground. Our fathers believed in sin and the devil and hell as constituting one force, and they believed in God and righteousness and heaven as the other. By their very nature, these forces were opposed to each other, forever in deep, grave, irreconcilable hostility. Man, our fathers held, had to choose sides. He could not be neutral. For him, it must be life or death, heaven or hell. And if he chose to come out on God's side, he could expect open war with God's enemies. The fight would be real and deadly, and would last as long as life continued here below. Men looked forward to heaven as a return from the wars, a laying down of the sword, to enjoy in peace the home prepared for them. Sermons and songs in those days often had a martial quality about them, or perhaps a trace of homesickness. The Christian soldier thought of home and rest and reunion, and his voice grew plaintive as he sang of battle ended and victory won. But whether he was charging into enemy guns or dreaming of war's end and the father's welcome home, he never forgot what kind of world he lived in. It was a battleground, and many were wounded and slain. That view is unquestionably scriptural. Allowing for the figures and metaphors with which the scriptures abound, it's still a solid Bible doctrine that tremendous spiritual forces are present in the world. Man, because of his spiritual nature, is caught in the middle. The evil powers are bent upon destroying him, while Christ is present to save him through the power of the gospel. To obtain deliverance, he must come out on God's side in faith and obedience. That, in brief, is what our fathers thought. And that, we believe, is what the Bible teaches. How different today? The fact remains the same, but the interpretation has changed completely. Men think of the world not as a battleground, but as a playground. We're not here to fight. We're here to frolic. We're not in a foreign land. We're at home. We're not getting ready to live, but we're already living, and the best we can do is rid ourselves of our inhibitions and our frustrations and live this life to the full. This, we believe, is a fair summary of the religious philosophy of modern man, openly professed by millions and tacitly held by many more millions who live out that philosophy without having given it verbal expression. This changed attitude toward the world has had and is having its effect upon Christians, even gospel Christians who profess the faith of the Bible. By a curious juggling of the figures, they manage to add up the column wrong and yet claim to have the right answer. It sounds fantastic, but it's true. The idea that this world is a playground instead of a